Hello, good day. Welcome to Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Evan Crawley for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. Evan, this week we're going to be talking about the regional finals. A lot of good games, including a lot of good rematches. Let's start in Class D South, where we have Oak Hill versus Lisbon.
That's a rematch of last year's regional final in Class D South. And obviously, if Oak Hill can get past Lisbon, there's a team that's lurking in MCI that they're more than familiar with, having played them last year in the state game. When it comes to the Raiders versus the Greyhounds, I wouldn't expect this to be more than a one touchdown game. You know, look for something low scoring in that 13-6 range. Lisbon's played a lot of low scoring games this year, and Oak Hill is coming off a 13-10 scare against Winthrop Monmouth in a game where the Ramblers really had a number of chances to take the lead or really pull an upset there. Part of what prevented them was, you know, a really strong game from quarterback Dalton Terrian, who's really kind of progressed this season as a defensive player as well at the cornerback position. Had a lot of passes deflected, made a saving tackle on Bennett Brooks at the 3-yard line that Winthrop Monmouth eventually didn't score on. One of the things that I will be looking for, though, is Brendan Turvo, standout defensive player along the line. He's going to be a game-time decision. He hurt his knee against Winthrop Monmouth. Fortunately for Oak Hill, it does have a good amount of depth up front. One of the big things I'm looking for with Lisbon is how creative they get with their play calling. I know Oak Hill, not many teams know Lisbon better than Stason Doucette.
Right.
Coached there for 19 years and was a player there as well. And he's kind of had the Greyhounds number since he's been there. Lisbon likes to do a lot of things where they'll do quarterback sweeps with Tyler Halls. One of the things they're going to have to be mindful of on short yardage situations is they like to have that little tight end streak play with Tyrese Joseph. And, you know, when you're looking at a 3rd and 4 or 4th and 3 kind of situation, you know, Noah Francis is always an obvious candidate to run the ball, but don't be surprised if they throw that little quick hitter to try to pick up, you know, the first downs or a short touchdown. Looking at the other side of Class D, Travis, MCI gets Matt and Aucook, and you'd think in a regional final game this is going to be close, but you know, when you looked at what happened during the regular season, it's hard to believe it will be.
Yeah, when I talked to the MCI players before their regular season game against Matt and Aucook, the players and coach Tom Bertrand said this is the game of the year in the Little Ten Conference, and turned out to be not so much because MCI won 61-0. Manaka coming off a big win over Mount View in the regional semifinals. That's a kind of a revenge game for them. They had lost to the Mustangs in the regular season, and they go out and beat Mount View last week 20-14. Manaka led by running back Scott Gibson, who ran for over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns in the regular season. Quarterback Carter Ward's a threat to run or pass, has about 1,000 yards when you combine his numbers there and 16 touchdowns. Has a couple of decent receivers in Trevor Sutherland and Gunner Maxwell, who caught 10 touchdown passes combined. But I just don't see the Lynx really hanging with the Huskies very long. MCI on the season, 31 rushing touchdowns, 15 receiving, 6 defensively. Probably a few on special teams that I'm missing there. Just depth across the board at every position. Their only close game, if you want to call a 21-point win in the regular season, was a 41-20 win over Dexter, and then they beat Bucksport 35-13. And then, of course, we saw what they did with over 70 points and 62 points at halftime against Orono last week. So it seems like the Huskies are peaking at the right time and are really kind of gearing up for what could be a rematch Alaska year state game against Oak Hill.
I know members of the MCI coaching staff have been at each of the last 2 Oak Hill games, and I know Oak Hill has seen a game or 2 of MCI as well. Is that the game everybody's hoping for?
I think it's the game everyone's been hoping for all season. The state game last year was close for a half, and then injuries kind of got to the Huskies in the second half, and Oak Hill, with that great run game that they had last year, kind of pulled away. I think people around the state are expecting a much closer game this year if they meet in Orono next Friday night.
Our only other local game is Winslow. They speaking of games that everybody wanted to see, undefeated Winslow against undefeated Old Town.
Yeah, that game's going to be on Friday night at Old Town. Old Town gets the home game from, you know, the coin flip we've talked about a few times in past podcasts. Both teams are 9-0, and neither team really got tested last week in the semifinals. Old Town pulling a 38-7 win over Foxcroft Academy, and Winslow with a 21-0 win over Mount Desert Island. It's a game where Winslow committed 5 turnovers on offense and still managed to win by 21 points because their defense has been so tough, Evan. Fifth consecutive shutout for the Black Raiders, who haven't given up a point since giving up a touchdown to Madison in the fourth game of the regular season.
How can Old Town get a win in this game?
They have to hopefully have some more turnovers from Winslow. They threw 3 interceptions, had a fumble lost, and a muff punt in that game. If they can get some more turnovers and get the ball deep in Black Raider territory, they have the weapons to possibly score on Winslow. Andre Miller might be the best receiver in the Big Ten Conference. He had 35 catches for 11 touchdowns and 728 yards. Quarterback Jake Jarvis completes about 60% of his passes. He threw 15 touchdowns and for about 1,200 yards. And running back T.J. Crawford's another guy the Black Raiders got to be careful with. He's a 1,000-yard runner and had 17 touchdowns. So the Coyotes do have some weapons to match up with Winslow. The key's going to be, you know, do they match up on either the offensive or defensive line?
Now, on the other side, the winner of that game will get the Southern champion, either Yarmouth or Wells. Wells with a mild upset, I guess you could put it, last week. Nothing too major. But Yarmouth will enter. Wells will be the slight underdog again going in this week. I know they played a close game during the regular season, but Yarmouth being unbeaten, what do you expect out of this one, Travis?
I'm going with Wells in the mild upset in this one. I think the Warriors are very well coached. They've been in these situations before in Class B and C. Not too long ago that they won a Class B state title. So I think that experience might come in handy for the Warriors, but Yarmouth's a tough team. It should be a good game.
You know, in a conference we saw a lot of this year in the Pine Tree Conference Class B, it'll be Brunswick versus Brewer. When I talked to Coach Dan Cooper after their 40-0 win over Mount Blue last week, he said, you know, he felt the two best teams in the conference this year made it to that game.
Yeah, Brewer avenged a loss in the regular season to Skowhegan last week with a 1-point win over the Indians in the final minute. And they're the only team that beat Brunswick this year, so it'll be interesting to see if the Dragons can get some revenge of their own this week.
You know, if I had to guess, I think Brunswick comes out and plays pretty well. That offensive line has been has played great for them this year. When I talked to Will Bessie after that game, and you know, he said one of the things that's helped him the most is, you know, he's going 2 or 3 yards before he's getting touched because they're getting such a good push on the offensive line. And when you give a guy like Will Bessie, you know, a couple of yards to get going, he's hard to bring down.
Is he still playing just one way for the Dragons, or did he play some defense in the playoffs?
He played some defense against Mount Blue last week.
Okay.
Looking on the other side, we got Marshwood versus Falmouth. Marshwood, the defending state champion, Class B. You know, I always feel, you know, until you beat a team like that, you know, they're the team to beat.
Yeah, Falmouth beat them 22-20 in the regular season, a close game. I expect another close game in this one. But again, the experience Marshwood's had with some deep runs in the playoffs and the state championship last year might be the decisive factor.
Well, looking at Class A, a lot of good matchups up there. Starting in the south, you got Thornton Academy. They're playing Bonnie Eagle. Two good, very good passing offenses. When we talk about FITSE candidates, it's hard to get past McCrum. You know, 6'4", 225 quarterback.
He's one of the best players the state's seen.
Yeah, and you know he's built in the similar body type. Somebody like we've seen in Skowhegan quarterback Garrett McSweeney, but he's even a little bit bigger. I mean, McCrum goes about 6'4", 225. He's had a great year. Bonnie Eagle has been up and down. Thornton Academy will be the favorite, and I would think TA gets this done.
Yeah, I think TA gets it done, but Bonnie Eagle is so well coached by Kevin Cooper, you know, who's had such a great run there that it's tough to bet against him, but TA just looks too tough.
On the other side, you've got undefeated Portland hosting Wyndham. Wyndham was the surprise team that kind of got through last year in the North.
Yeah, Wyndham has had the injury bug this year, but they've been playing pretty well, and it should be a good game.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us this week on Gridiron Gurus. Be sure to check out centralmaine.com for plenty of great football content and much, much more.
And be sure to listen next week when we take a look at the 4 state championship games.